Exodus chapter 15 in verse 23. Exodus chapter 15 in verse 23. I've got a short time to work the scripture out. Exodus chapter 15 in verse 23. We'll read down to verse 26. I'll read in the verse, you come in the verse after, and until we get to the end, as it is our custom. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. Verse 24, everyone. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord shewed him a tree, which he had cast into the waters, and the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statue and an ordinance, and there he proved them. Verse 26, everyone. And he said, "If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandment, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee." Can somebody shout amen? Amen. "I will put none of these diseases upon thee." I will put none of these diseases upon thee. If I did not put it, and I don't put it, if it is on you, you should reject it, because it is not a gift from me. If I did not put it on your life, you must stop accepting it. You must decide to reject it. I did not put it on you. He said, "I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I cannot be the God who healeth thee and put it on thee." Am I talking to somebody in the house of God? "So I do not put these diseases upon thee." Help me touch your neighbor. Say, "Reject it." Oh, you're not talking like you mean it. Say, "Reject it." If it says, "I will not put it on thee," then you have the right to reject high blood pressure. You have the right to reject diabetes. You have the right to reject whatever it is that does not glorify God. It said, "I do not put these things upon thee, because I am the Lord that does what? I am the Lord that healeth thee." Tonight, I'll be speaking to you on what I titled Jehovah Rapha. Jehovah Rapha. If you love him, I think you will just celebrate him a little bit. Amen. Jehovah Rapha. Some call him Jehovah Rophika. Is that okay? Some call him Jehovah Rophe. It all doesn't matter. The major thing is that he is the Lord that healeth me. Say with me, he is the Lord that healeth me. All right, say it very, very personally. He is the Lord that healeth me. Maybe you should say it in a way that makes sense. Say, "He is the Lord, my healer." Praise be to the name of our God. Father, we have called you the healer, and that is exactly what you will do. Thank you, because you said whatsoever Adam called them, that was what they became. If we call you the healer, that is what you will become. Father, beyond the fact that we call you a healer, you called yourself also a healer. We therefore ask that if there be anyone who is sick under the sound of my voice tonight, you will indeed show up in their lives, and you will heal everyone of every infirmity in the name of Jesus the Christ. And everyone says a big amen. Amen. Shake hands with two persons around you and say to them, "The Lord is my healer." You may take your seats in the presence of the Lord. The God that we serve is a great physician. The God that we serve, I wouldn't want to use the word great physician, because that sounds as if he can be compared with some others. The God that we serve is the greatest physician. He is the greatest physician. He is the one that can perform what we call invasive surgery without using any kind of knife. He is the one that can cause cancers to dematerialize without using chemotherapy or radiotherapy. Our God is the one that can cause tumors to shrink without ever touching them with a needle or a knife. He is Jehovah Rapha. Am I talking to anybody here? He's the one that can step down high blood pressure without giving you moduretic or prednisone. Mighty God that he is, can step down your sugar level. He's the one that can regulate everything that is going wrong on the inside of you. Mighty God that he is, he can work on your hormones. If they are in a state of disorder, he's the one that can speak order to your hormones. If there's anything in your system, and I'm a living testimony, if the doctor ever tells you that there's a hormone in your body that is low, whether they say prolactin or progesterone or testosterone, if they ever tell you that any of that is low and they're trying to give you drugs in order to boost up testosterone, progesterone, whatever it is, I want to let you know that there is a God in the first place who fixed them and can refix them. He is called Jehovah Rapha. If I don't have to introduce him too much to you, would you shout a big amen? Amen. I'm talking about the psychiatrist of all psychiatrists. I don't know how you call them. He is the greatest psychiatrist you can ever talk about in the world. Without holding you down with chains, without shooting you with lagatine. All he needs is to force the devils at work to bow down in worship. And cause a man with 2,000 demons causing him to run wild. He just needs to show up in your arena. And the Bible made us to understand that a man who had been mad, they shot him with lagatine, giving him all kinds of psychiatric drugs. And the man will not be in any way made normal. The Bible says they've held him with chains. He has broken them. But when Jesus, the healer, when Jehovah Rapha showed up at his own domain, the Bible says even the devils on the inside of him were forced to submission. And the Bible said without touching him with the drug, without shooting him with any injection, the Bible said the man was restored back to his senses. No psychiatrist like our God. Am I talking to someone in the house of God? I've not found an optician like him. He is the one that could carry will spit on the ground and make a mud from the ground and cause the eyes of a man that was not seeing to become darkened by mud. He poured mud on the face of the man. If man wasn't seeing, you complicated the situation by putting again mud on his eyes and told the man, go wash in the pool of Siloam. And the Bible said when he washed, he came back again seeing. No optician like our Savior. No optometrist like him. Am I talking to anybody in the house of God? Somebody say Jehovah Rapha. Say like your minister, Jehovah Rapha. I have seen gynies, but no gyne like our Savior. No gyne like our Savior. Talk to me about one who can cause a woman to conceive without having a man to sleep with her. You're talking about IVF. You are talking about something beyond IVF. Because IVF need the passage of human medium in order for eggs to meet with whatever they have to do or for things to be planted in the womb of a woman. But we're talking about Rapha, the one that can bypass, somebody say bypass. The one that can bypass the hymen of a woman, bypass the vagina of a woman and put a seed right where the seed ought to be and cause a baby to begin to grow in there. You can't compare that with any gynae on the surface of the earth. Would you shout Jehovah Jireh Rapha in the house? Say it again like you mean it, Jehovah Rapha. Mighty God that he is, able to stop the flow of blood without giving you anything to stop blood flow. Amen to Jesus Christ. I'm excited about him. I don't know about you. But when I think about the goodness of my Savior, joy just wells up from the inside of me. There is no disease that our God cannot heal. There may be some that we have not been able to pray and get healed, but there is no disease that our God can heal. Not a single one. God is able to heal all manner of diseases. Our God is able to deal with all kinds of infirmity. Wherever our God finds faith, our God moves. God loves to be believed, he hates to be doubted. And when God sees faith, God does the unthinkable. The Lord our God is a healer. He heals physical diseases. In Psalm 103, in verse 2-3, the Bible says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefit, who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases." Did you hear that, sir? So we serve a God who heals all kinds of diseases. He forgiveth all thy iniquities, and he healeth what, sir? All thy diseases. He is all kinds of diseases, including the one locked up in your body now, the one you can't even tell anybody about. Shameful diseases. At your age, sometimes there are things you are going through. You can tell anybody that you're going through. He let all our diseases. Say with me, Jehovah Rapha. So he heals all kinds of physical diseases. That's what our God does. Every kind of physical disease, he can heal them. Our God is not a special, what do you call them now? Doctors who specialize. Specialists. Oh, no. Our God is not a specialist. And why you come to with eye problem and they will tell you that, no, sorry, I specialize in stomach troubles. Am I talking to someone in the house of God? Our God is a general practitioner. Amen to Jesus. When you get to our God, you get to discover that he has different faculties of his open to heal all manner of diseases. Who forgiveth all thy diseases and healeth, who forgiveth all thy iniquities and healeth what, sir? He healeth all thy diseases. If you can believe him to heal all, then he will heal any in your body. You didn't hear what I just said right now. If you can believe that he can heal all diseases, then he can heal anyone in your body. Not only is our God a God who can heal physical diseases, our God is also the God who heals emotional or psychological diseases. Psychological ailments, depressions of the highest order. Am I talking to someone in the house of God? I'm talking about chronic depression. Whether you have all kinds of fear, don't know what kind of phobia you have. If it's an emotional problem, our God is an expert in healing emotional troubles. The Bible makes us understand in Psalm 147 in verse 2. It said, "The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathered together, he gathered together the outcasts of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart." He does what, sir? He healeth the broken in heart. So our God is the one who heals the brokenhearted. Not only does he heal the broken in heart. The Bible says, "And he binded up their wounds." Now listen, don't miss scripture now. He heals the broken in hearts. And the Bible says he binded up their wounds. What does that tell you, sir? Whenever the heart is broken, it creates wounds. Whenever the heart is broken, it creates wounds. So our God does not only heal the broken in heart, he also takes care of the effect of the brokenheartedness. Somebody's blood pressure has risen because the heart is broken. Somebody's living in confusion because the heart is broken. Somebody has been disappointed by somebody, and so your heart has gone into a state of brokenness. And as a result of that, it has affected your life. Our God is a God who healeth the broken in heart. And not only does he heal the broken in heart, the Bible says he binds up their wound. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to heal what's up? The broken hearted. And let me say this to you, people of God. One of the things that some of us need to be healed from is what I call emotional diseases, emotional issues. Some of us don't have high blood pressure. We don't have diabetes and all of that. But you are emotionally dysfunctional. You are not happy. You are just sad. Oh, and you can't lift up yourself. Depression of the highest order. All kinds of stuff going on in the mind. Our God is the one who heals the brokenhearted and he binds up their wounds. So when God heals, the manifestation of it sometimes can be instantaneous. And that's what you need to know about the healing process of our God. Sometimes when God heals, the healing process can be immediate, instantaneous, and sometimes it can be progressive. And some people have lost their miracles because they don't understand this aspect of God. Remember that in the case of Jesus Christ, the Bible says sometimes he will pray for some people and the Bible says immediately. Is that okay? Immediately, the Bible said the eyes of the person was open. In another case, the Bible said he laid hands on somebody and prayed over the eyes of the person.
And the Bible says, after he laid hands and prayed on the eyes of the person, the Bible says, and the man began to see human beings like what, sir? Can I hear you? Like trees. So the Bible says he had to bring the man back again and touch him how many times? The second time. It was when he touched him the second time that the man began to see men as they are. So it wasn't in all cases that Jesus laid hands on people once and they were made whole. Is that all right, sir? There's something we call the second touch. And that is why if after you were ministered to, whether for deliverance or healing, if you notice a little bit of relief at the moment and you feel a little bit that there's still need for further touch, don't be ashamed to come back and say, sorry, sir. There was this little relief that I had, but I think I need a second touch. And sometimes it's the second touch that will bring about the real wholeness that you desire. Don't forget about the blind men that Jesus made whole, Jesus healed. One of which was a Samaritan. The Bible says that he went, and then while he was going, he noticed that he began to see. But it was when he came back to Jesus, and Jesus said to him, he said, listen, while you just got was healing, you could become sick again. He said, but right now I'm going to give you something that will never make you become sick again and say you are whole. Is that all right, sir? He said, daughter, thy faith has made you what? You have just gotten healed, but you need to get whole. He said, thy faith has made you whole. The point I'm making here is that sometimes there's going to be a need for second ministration. The Bible says sometimes it was after he ministered to them on their way while they were going. The Bible said they were healed while they were going. While they were going, the Bible said they were made whole. While they were going, they left the meeting place. Nothing has changed in their body. But while they were going, thank God, sir, while they were going, they did not give up on what had happened in the meeting. He ministered to them and said, go. And while they were going, they kept on holding on to their healing. Father, I thank you. Because healing has been declared on me, I hold on to my healing. I declare I'm healed already. I declare I'm healed. What I'm feeling does not look like what I've been told. What I told will superimpose itself over what I'm feeling. Am I talking to someone in the house of God? I believe your word, Father. I'm healed in my body. And the Bible says, while they were going, they were made whole. So it's important for you to understand that concerning our God. When it comes to the healing process, I remember that far back in the early days when we normally have this special long healing meetings, we line up people and all of that. We'll pray for some people. Pastor, instantly you see some people who are screaming, God has healed me, God has healed me, and all of that kind of stuff. Some people, you're going to lay hands on them, is when they are getting back to their seat. Praise the Lord, God has just healed me. Some people, it's just when we're leaving the meeting. Praise the Lord has healed me. Some person, pastor, is going to take the next 1 week. Because their healing process is going to be what, sir? Gradual. Doesn't medical science even teach you that? There are some drugs you take, or there are some treatment you receive that gives you almost immediate relief. Am I correct, sir? And if you ever have real malaria, no matter what they give you, you will need about 3 days before you find your square root. Do you understand what I'm saying that? You know the funny thing I say about Christians, sir? Is that when they carry a sickness to a doctor, and when they get to the doctor and the doctor gives them an injection and they are going back home, they are still shaking. And then somebody called them and said, how are you doing? He said, no, I think I'm going to be all right now. The doctor just gave me injection. I'm all right. I'm all right. I think I'm okay. I think the drug is going to work. By tomorrow, I'll be okay. Now, here you are having confidence, telling your friends that by tomorrow you'll be okay because somebody just shot you with an injection. And then you came to church. Not only did they shoot you with injection of the word, they poured the word on you. Then as soon as you get a witness, I never been. I see the shake. I beg you. Sorry. Where goes? I did see. you see what's going on in the body of Christ now? You meet with a doctor, he gives you a drug, Panadol. And as soon as he gives you paracetamol, chloroquine. And then they call you from your office and they say, sorry, we didn't see you in the office today. Sorry. I had fever. Now watch this carefully. I had fever. Not I'm having fever. Because they've just given you chloroquine. I had fever. And so you're not going to come to work this week? No. I think by tomorrow I'll be all right. Why do you say you'll be all right? Because you've taken what? And you have faith in what? You don't see how the drug works. Do you? In actual fact, are you aware of this? Even medical science has come to prove that. Are you aware that when you start using your mouth to say, I'm going to be all right, actually you are the one that actually begins to enhance your healing process? Because when you say, I'll be all right, you're actually sending messages to your nerve endings, and they will begin to send that to your body defense system. Medical science came up with a conclusion. Those who are neurosurgeons, they came up with a conclusion that whenever you open your mouth and say, I think I am sick, that your body neurons, the neuron speaks up the message and shuts down your immune system. Are they not confirming scripture? Death and life is in the power of what, sir? When the woman was coming to Jesus, she said, I know if I touch the hem of his garment, I shall be what, sir? When she touched it, what happened to her, sir? You are the one who decides what will happen to you with what you say with your mouth. You either fast track healing process into your body, or you destroy a healing process that is taking place in your life. I am whole. I'm all right. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Father, because the word has been spoken over my life, I know I'm all right. If you speak like that, you're going to see changes. As simple as that. One of our members, they traveled on holiday just last summer. They traveled on holiday to London. And while they were in the UK, you know, for you to know that African spirits So they were in the UK, and the son had a dream. And in that dream, somebody shot him. A young boy with great future before him. Somebody shot him at the hand. And all of a sudden, the boy woke up. A boy that is still not up to 16 yet, or 17. That's how the boy woke up and couldn't use his hand again. The hand went paralyzed and couldn't use his finger anymore. So as soon as they came back, the boy still couldn't use the fingers and couldn't raise his hands properly. So they brought him to my office and we said, okay, look, what's this? And the mother said, Pastor, my son must recover. I said, that's exactly why we're here. He must recover. Amen. And we joined faith together to pray. The boy is back in church doing very well. The hands supernaturally in a week. Pastor, immediately after we finished praying, there wasn't any nothing dramatic. But in a week, the next Sunday when they came to church, the mother was all full of joy. Pastor, the boy can use his finger. The boy can raise, because he couldn't raise his hand. The moment he raised his hand, the hands would fall on their own. The devil is wicked. And the boy could just raise his hand. I was with him here on Sunday and the boy is perfectly all right. Perfectly all right. The hands are working. Everything doing very well. I thought you were clapping for Jesus. I thought you were not. Or you are angry that God healed him. Amen. Let me say this. Can I prophesy about the Spirit of the Lord? We're coming into the days whereby the supernatural become a natural thing. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? Kenneth Hagin had prophesied it before his death. Smith Wigglesworth had prophesied it before his death. The days are coming when the supernatural will be the natural way for believers to live. Whereby miracles are just going to be okay. There's nothing special about the fact that, there's no one special celebrity on the stage that everybody runs to for healing. The days are coming when you can lay hands on the sick and the sick will recover. You can lay hands on the sick and the sick will recover. Can I have an amen in the house of God? Or you don't trust the power of God at work in your life? The Bible says, they that believe, it shall come to pass in the last days. The Bible makes us understand. Mark chapter 16. Jesus told us that this sign shall follow them that do what, sir? Those who are apostles? Those who are reverends? No, he said, those who believe. He said, they shall lay hands and what, sir? On the sick, and the sick shall what, sir? The sick shall recover. Do you believe you're part of that army of God? Stretch your hands out. Say, Father, use my hands to heal the sick. Or come and say like you mean, say, Lord, use his hands to heal the sick. Yes, the apostles actually prayed. They said, Father, grant unto us that we may speak your word with boldness, and you stretch forth your hands to heal the sick. Hello. Please, let me say this. You need to get it when I say you should stretch your hands and pray that God should use your hands to heal the sick. Listen, God is stretching his hands to heal the sick through your hands. God wants to heal the sick, but he cannot touch them without your hands. He needs your hands. He needs your voice. Is that all right, sir? He needs your voice. And please, you don't need the faith of Smith Wigglesworth to heal the sick. You just need faith as small as water, a grain of mustard seed. You just need confidence in God that God can heal the sick. That's all. And let me say this to you, people of God. The days have come when you need to stop troubling yourself over the fact that, Pastor, I prayed for somebody and the person was not healed. You are not the healer. I am the Lord that healed the... You are not the healer. Is that okay, sir? Your job is to lay hands on the sick and the sick shall what, sir? Just like the doctor is not the healer. That's what the doctors will tell you. They say, we what, sir? Eh? We care, and the doctor always tells the nurse to give you injection. Is that okay? Have you noticed something funny? The doctor doesn't give you injection. He only prescribes injection. He's not the one that gives you the drug. He's not the one that gives you injection. and then you get healed, but who are you praising? You know the funny people, you know the people that are not celebrated the most in every hospital? Nurses and pharmacists. But they are the ones that actually give you the drugs. They are the ones that give you the injection. Say with me, I'm not the healer. Oh, come on, say it, I'm not the healer. Say, God heals through me. Say, Father, I make my hands available to you. Use my hands to heal the sick. Say it again. Say, use my hands to heal the sick. Say, let my hands be your hands extended. Say it again. Say, let my hands be your hands extended. Say, let the healing anointing flow through my hands. If you believe that, say, big amen in the house of God. If you believe God will use your hands to heal the sick, say, big amen in the house of God. It was such a simple teaching that I received some years ago. And, you know, like I share with you sometimes, after one of such meetings, I was told that a young man by the name Peter was not feeling good. And I got into his room. And when I got into, they told me, I thought it was headache. You know, it's easy to have faith for headache, amen? So when I got there, I thought maybe fever, you know, so it's easy to rebuke fever. When I got in there, and then the next thing I saw was that I noticed that the boy's leg, the boy had become paralyzed from his waist down. Not only could he not use his leg, the leg has shrunken in terms of width. Not only that, the leg has also shrunken in terms of length. And the boy was okay on Saturday night. He was all right. Sunday morning, the boy woke up and that's what he saw. That's Africa for you. Is that okay? We reduce people's leg without their permission in Africa. Sorry if you're watching the program. Those used to be what Africa used to look like. But Africa is a new place now. Africa is the next frontier. Africa is where God is moving right now. The legs we had shortened in those years gone by, we are now pulling them out in Africa because God is at work in Africa. Can I have an amen? Amen. So, praise God. So then, in those years, some years back, that boy, the leg is shattered up. Shrunken in size. Length reduced. The whole thing was shrunken. So, and you know the funny part, PJ, when I got into the room, the boy was covered up. So I didn't know what was inside. I was like, Peter, you know, my faith was, you man, we'd be reading Francis and Charles Hunter. Not to raise the dead, man. What are you talking about? Heal the sick. So, and God has been proving. We've been laying hands on the sick and we've been seeing all kinds of miracles. So it was in that spirit I came. Oh, a down mountain before Zerubbabel. You will vanish tonight. But you know, I should have learned a lesson because when I got to the house, Pastor, when I got to the house, I noticed that the father and the mother were sitting outside. And I greeted them. I said, I learned your son is not feeling fine. And he's inside. I should have learned that something was wrong. They didn't follow me inside. So when I got inside, and I said, Peter, what's wrong with you? And the Peter took it into again, the African people took his voice. So, you know, in those days, Africa, they normally take people's voices. You know? We thank God for the light that is breaking forth in Africa now. Thank God for the new things happening in Africa. In Jesus' mighty name. Yes. So they took Peter's voice. The boy couldn't tell me. You know, it's one thing for you to be sick and you can't tell anybody what the nature of the sickness is. So I look at him, Peter couldn't talk. I said, all right, Peter, God is going to help us here today. And the next thing was that he took off the wrapper. When I saw the legs, I saw that the size had shrunken because the parents made sure it was put on a short pant so I could see the legs shrunken in size. And now that the length has also reduced. The first thing that happened, I'm going to tell you the truth. Is that okay now? Are you ready to hear the truth? Is that right? The first thing that happened was the evaporation of my faith. My faith looked for the next available window and my faith took off and I was left there. Is that okay? So I was like, okay, so what's the problem? He said, that's the problem. There's a problem. I said, Lord, I'm here already. Which is there another way out of this house? And the parents have been telling not to go to Pentecostal church. So this is an opportunity for the parents now to say, we've told you. And just when my natural faith evaporated, there's something called the gift of faith. It is the gift of faith. You are not having this faith because you are quoting scripture. It is not the faith you have that comes from you. It comes into you. It's a surge of faith. That kind of faith, when it enters you like this, God, there's almost nothing you don't think you can do. Does anyone understand what I'm saying here? When the surge of faith enter you like that, when the gift of faith comes, you can accomplish anything. The worst thing that can happen to you is for the gift of faith to come and you do nothing with it. Suddenly that surge of faith came. And the next thing, Pastor, the next thing I just found myself saying, I said, Peter, he said, yes. I said, I want you to see yourself playing basketball. Can you see that? He said, yes. I said, I want you to see yourself playing volleyball. I said, can you see that? He said, he can see. I'm trying to get his mind focused on the solution. I said, I want you now to see yourself walking. Can you see that? He said, yes. As soon as I began to say that, I said, Peter, you are going to work. Pastor, all of this is not me. Is that okay, sir? It's important for us to tell when it is not us. So that, you know. And the next thing that the Lord said to me, he said, now hold his legs. And I held the legs. I could literally hold the legs of Peter. And I held the legs of Peter. And the next thing I heard myself saying, in the name of Jesus Christ, I said, Peter, I command your legs to be restored in the name of Jesus Christ. And I kept saying, not in my name. I said, not in my name, in the name of Jesus. And literally for the first time in my life, I began to hear human bones cracking. Am I talking to somebody here? Literally, I began to hear human bones cracking. Now, let me tell you this. One of the things you will learn when it comes to healing ministry, because can I speak like somebody who is preparing a lot of people who are going to go into that ministry here? How many of you sensing God leading you in the healing ministry? You're going to be laying hands on the sick. So let me teach you a few things that you will meet on the field. Is that okay now? And as soon as I began to hear that cracking, Pastor, thank God. One thing God did not allow me to do was to open my eyes. Now, one of the things you will do is this. When the miraculous process is beginning to take place, be very careful not to allow what you are seeing around you to affect you. Because there's a process. And once there's something about the healing ministry, once your mind can be splitted, the power will be cut off. That's something about the healing ministry. Once your mind can be splitted, is that okay, sir? That's why those who work in the healing ministry, they are very sensitive about the instrument that plays. Everything must be perfect for the healing anointing to work. Because a wrong chord playing can completely destabilize me. Is that okay, sir? I'm not going to let you be playing a song that is reminding me of something that has happened before. I need a song that keeps me in the moment. That is why you wonder why sometimes, hallelujah, hallelujah, Emmanuel. You wonder why those songs are the songs that are perfectly used in most healing processes. It's because it keeps you focused on the moment. Is that okay now? And so while I was ministering to him, I began to hear the bones cracking. One of the things that God did not allow me to do was to open my eyes. So I got intense. As the bones were cracking, the next thing I was hearing was he was screaming. As he was screaming, I kept on saying, in the name of Jesus. I said, not in my name. Not in my name. In the name of Jesus Christ. And the next thing I noted there was that he began to shake his leg. At that point, I had to open my eyes. And before my very eyes, sir, I saw the leg that had shortened up, extended back to its normal. I saw the size restored. Am I talking to somebody in the house of God? Now, we have to give that to the one who did it. It's not my faith. My faith left the window. Do you understand what I'm saying here? And the days of the supernatural is back. Am I talking to someone in the house of God here? The days of the supernatural are upon us again. People of God, the days have come when ordinary people amongst us here will go to the hospital on Saturdays and lay hands on the sick and come back to church with testimonies of the miraculous interventions of the Almighty God. Can somebody shout a big amen in the house of God? It was shortly after that experience, sir, that the Lord laid on my heart to go pray with a woman called Monica Agugu. you her brother sells carpet here at Wuse here. And you know, she said, Pastor, I would like you to go pray for my mother. Now, Monica happens to be a custom officer lady. I don't know if she has retired now, but one of their senior officers. Now, Monica came to me and said, Pastor Sam, she said, all this miracle that I watch on television, they are stage managed. I said, well, I don't know much about them, but I said, some are real. Is that okay? She said, Pastor Sam, if it is real, I have a mother. We have flown her abroad. We have taken her to the best of hospitals. She said, my mother is still bedridden, can't use her leg. And my mother is back in the jungles in Goko. And man of God, because of what God has just done, faith was on the inside of me. Coupled with the fact that shortly after that incident, sir, we had the Dominion Miracle Night. Every month, Pastor Sheun knows about the program I'm talking about here. Every month, I host what they call the Dominion Miracle Night in Lagos. People come from Ogun State, and I wish to say Forsyth here. People come from Ogun State. Pastor Stevenson knows about that. Pastor Ken So should be able to know about that. Pastor Isaiah, you know about that. Fantastic. People come from everywhere. I have hosted Reverend Sam Moses there and Nature here while he was in Lagos trying to start his own ministry. People come from the whole place jam-packed at Good News Miracle Bible Church. Now, okay, fine. I think I have, there are people who are living witness here. Sister Mary Martha, one of them who is in the choir, was part of my choir then. In fact, the husband to Sister Martha's sister, who is Mary, the husband was healed in one of the meetings. He went for an operation to be healed, to be operated on something between his abdomen and his quarter sac. There was a growth there, and the surgeon was not around. And so he came to one of such nights, and while I was ministering, the Spirit of the Lord laid that I should call everyone who has growth in their body. And the young man came outside, and I laid hands on him and I prayed. We couldn't see what was there. He just told me there's a growth. We prayed, and the whole thing did materialize. The young man went to the toilet and went to check himself, came back to the meeting and was screaming, I am healed. I am healed. And I was like, what in the first place happened to you? He said he had this growth. He was supposed to go for a surgical operation, but that because the surgeon was not around, he said, should he go home? That why don't he just go to the house of God? And that's how he went there. And that's how the Lord healed that young man. Am I talking to somebody in the house of God? In that same meeting, I remember the case of a lady who had diabetes because it runs in her family. Her grandfather had it, her father had it, her mother has diabetes and all of that. And so this young girl at the age of 14 also had diabetes. And she came for that meeting. It has affected her sight. She came for that meeting. She's in London right now. Now, when she came for that meeting, I was praying, and the Lord said to me, those who have eye problems should come outside. And she came, and I began to minister to them. And so when I got to her, instantly the first thing that happened was that her sight was restored. And as soon as her sight was restored, the lady now said to me, she said, sorry, sir. She said, thank God my sight is restored. She said, I have diabetes. And I think if God can heal the sight, he should be able to heal diabetes. And as soon as I laid hands upon her, I said, I want to pray against the diabetes in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank God I have not read about diabetes, so I don't know what it is. I only heard the name. Is that okay? I said, whatsoever diabetes. I said, where is diabetes? I thought it's a growth. So she said, no. It's somewhere, you know, in the pancreas and whatever, and the pancreas malfunction. I said, all right, fine. Whatever it is. You know, sometimes when you know too much, it even affects your faith. See, let me tell you the truth. Sometimes the knowledge of the problem is the reason why you can't have faith for the problem. Do you know that, hello, if not because you have heard that the HIV virus, the virus is one, all the story they tell about virus of HIV and all of that. Do you know that you can have faith for it and God will take care of it out of your body? The reason why it's difficult to receive healing concerning HIV is because of the virus is deadly. Shika Baba. You know, some of us, as if we have started worshiping the power of the virus. Pastor, they say the virus is deadly. Hello, sir. Whatever they call deadly today, there was a time also when some things were called deadly. There was a time when measles was incurable. Is that okay? It was a mystery in those days. There was a time when malaria was a mystery. Is that okay? But all of that today, technology has made us forgotten that they were once a mystery. The days are coming when the HIV stuff will be a forgotten matter. Is that all right? Gradually, it's already losing its potency. Because we all know that some businesses were tied around all the HIV hype and all of that. Businesses were tied around the funds, donor agencies and all that. Hyping it so much so that money can flow. Because the more it goes, the hype around it goes down, the less money we have. Is that okay? And we're doing all of that at the peril of human lives. There are sicknesses that are more deadly than HIV. Is that okay? HIV is progressive. It doesn't kill instantaneously. But do you know that if somebody has liver cirrhosis, sir, liver cirrhosis can wipe you out within a short time. that hepatitis are all there. Some others, they can wipe you out in a moment.
Build so much HIV.
So, yeah. So I said, you have diabetes, okay, let's pray. As we began to pray, Pastor, it was then I got to understand that some sicknesses are not just caused by the malfunctioning of the body organs, but they can be inspired by demonic presence. As we began to pray, the Lord opened my eyes and I began to see fluffy things. I saw angelic intervention carrying out major surgical invasion into our body and pulling out some things that looks like wool. And as I closed my eyes and I was saying in the name of Jesus, I said, pull it out. Angels, pull it out. I didn't know that this girl was already on the floor. She was wriggling on the floor, vomiting all kinds of white foamish things and all of that. And by the time God was done pulling those rubbish out of her, this girl was almost lifeless on the ground. By the time she jumped up, this girl was perfectly restored back. It was because of this diabetic problem that the mother did not allow this girl to go to school outside the house. It was after that the girl had to take off and go to London. And she is living on her own today with a son that is just about 13 years old. Hallelujah. Somebody shout Jehovah Rapha. Say it again. Say Jehovah Rapha. He is the Lord, our healer. I've experienced him. My spinal cord almost dislocated. And the Spirit of the Lord asks that I do what Kenneth Hagin said. He said, place your hand on it. Amen to Jesus. He said, place your hand on your spines. And I placed my hand on my spine. And as soon as I placed my hand on my spine, something that was supposed to be operated. You remember what my pastor said to you about the riot that happened in the north? Now, what happened was that when the Muslims were looking for a way to kill me, I told you some times ago, they had to capture me in the night. Nobody knew about it. And so they took me to a place where they had to beat me. The intention was to dislocate my joints, weaken me up so that when they want to bury me, I will not be able to resist that. They wanted to bury me alive. That was their mission. And so they hit me on the floor. So I had whatever happened here, there was a slip somewhere. And so when we got to Lagos, I said I needed to go to Igbobi and all of that. So the only thing I could do was to bend. I couldn't bend. I couldn't do anything. So I only sleep sideways. You understand that? Praise God. But then I was reading the book by the name of Jesus by Kenneth Hagin. And while I was reading the book, it got to a moment when, thank you, Holy Spirit of God. As I'm speaking right now, the Spirit of the Lord is telling me that the healing anointing is being restored on somebody's life right now. There's somebody under the sound of my voice, and the Lord is telling me that I've actually called into the healing ministry, and for a long time you've not been able to function in that dimension. But thus here, the Spirit of the Lord, even as these words have been spoken right now, you are not just only hearing words, something is being ignited on the inside of you. And I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying, as you begin to walk in obedience to the anointing that you are sensing all over you right now, the Spirit of the Lord is saying to me, you'll begin to see a mighty move of the healing power of the Spirit of God like you've never seen before in your life. Amazing miracles are going to happen through your hands and through your ministry in the name of Jesus Christ. Can I have a big amen in the house of God? Yes, yes. And you know, while I was there, the Spirit of the Lord told me, he said, look, son, Kenneth Hagin, why don't you put your hands there? And I put my hands on my waist there. And as soon as I put my hands on my waist, I said, in the name of Jesus Christ, I'm healed. So I wanted to feel that I'm healed before I believe that I'm healed. I started laughing. I said, these Christians, they normally make people happy, you know, and all that. I said, the pain is still there. And the Lord said to me, you got it wrong. He said to me that what you do is that if you believe, you shall receive. Not you shall receive, and then you believe. Is that okay now? You believe, and then you receive. And so I laid my hands. He said, put your hands, ask that the hand of the Lord Jesus come underneath your hands. And I said, Father, let the hand of the Lord Jesus come beneath my hands. And I placed my hand on his hand. And I said, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I declare that I'm healed. And as soon as that was done, I said, Father, I thank you because I'm healed. I believe first that I'm healed. And the next thing now was for me to do something physical to show that I believe that I'm healed. So I am not doing this to see if I'm healed. That you can miss it like that. I am not trying to check to see if I'm healed. I know I am healed. So I want to bend to say I am healed. And as soon as I did that, I realized that the pain was gone. I started shouting in my room, I'm healed, and all of that. And that was how there's never been a reason for me to go to any hospital. I've not had a reason to have a drip in my body. Is that okay? God has not allowed me to. Even at the worst of all moments, God has never allowed me to have that come into my body. The point I'm trying to make is that, and I'm not better than you. Don't think I'm better than you because of that. The point I'm trying to make here is that the Lord is our healer. Amen to Jesus Christ. The Lord is our healer. Then please, I don't want you to look at anybody here. I want you to know that he is the healer. Amen. I'm trying to point you to the healer. Praise God. He is the healer. He is the healer. And honestly, let me tell you the truth here. You can use anybody's Do you know that we can pray together tonight? Because I can't reach out to anybody, I'm going to actually ask you to do a few things here. I'm going to ask all of you to be around each other, lay hands around each other. The truth is that he can use any hand to heal anybody. He is the one that heals, so he can flow through anything. I would have loved to have everybody. If there's anybody that is sick, I'll call ordinary members. So to say, please, there's nobody that's ordinary in the house of God. I would love to call anybody who is sick out here, and I will not tell my pastors to come outside. And I'll ask some of you to just stretch your hands to the Lord and say, Father, anoint my hands and let the healing anointing flow through me. And you will see members here lay hands on other people, and people will confess literally here that I've just been healed. That the excellency of the glory and the power may be of God and not of us. For we have this treasure, where, sir? In earthen vessel. See what I'm saying? My time is gone and I need to get out of here. What am I going to do tonight? Praise God. While you're standing, let me just quickly tell you a few things that will make you to move into the healing anointing. Now, there are several ways by which God heals. Is that okay? There are several ways by which God brings a healing anointing into your life. How many of us want to be healed personally here? You want to be healed personally. Praise God. All right, so we're going to be having... Okay, so everybody that wants to be healed here tomorrow, I think at 12 o'clock tomorrow after the women's meeting, we can have a general healing session tomorrow. Is that all right, sir? We have a general healing session. Of course, we're going to have time to minister to individuals, one person per time. And God is going to heal all kinds of diseases here tomorrow in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, watch this carefully so that you can begin to prepare this. There are several ways by which God heals, and I will reiterate them again tomorrow. Remind me, sir. I'll reiterate them tomorrow. God heals through the confession, through confession and prayer. The Bible made us understand in James chapter 5 verse 16. It said, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Did you see that? Confess your sins. That's the first thing. That's one of the ways by which God heals. In actual fact, Pastor John was sharing about Kenneth Hagin. I've read that story severally, and I've seen that happen too. I've had cases where I want to pray for people, and I prayed for them. I know the healing power left me. The healing anointing left me. I'll come to teach you about what the healing anointing is. And you can sense it once it's upon your life. Is that okay? The healing anointing is different from the gift of faith. I mean, it's different from faith. Is that okay now? The healing anointing is the supernatural presence of God part-time. Now, that is also different from the gift of faith. When the gift of faith is present, the healing anointing is always activated. Is that all right? But you can have the manifestation of the healing anointing without the gift of faith even at work in you. Jesus Christ was preaching in a place, and the Bible said the power of God was present to heal. Jesus didn't feel anything. He was teaching, but the power was already present. Is that okay? The power of God can be present in a meeting for somebody to be healed, but if you can't discern it, you can walk out of this place with your sickness in your body. Let's move on quickly. So number one, you can be healed through confessing your sins. So if there's anybody here who is not feeling too good and you're sick in your body, one of the things you may have to quickly do is to confess your sins to God. And sometimes you may have to confess your sin one to another. You may have to walk up to a pastor and say, Pastor, actually, about 5-6 years ago, I messed up. I did some things I've never told anybody. If there's something you have never told anybody you've done that is causing guilt on the inside of you, it can be the basis for the sickness that you're having in your body. So it's important. He forgiveth all our iniquities and does what, sir? He let all our diseases. They brought a man to Jesus Christ, and when Jesus also healed the man, the Bible said the first thing Jesus said is that he said, "Thy sin be what, sir? Forgiven thee." As soon as Jesus said, "Thy sin be forgiven," they said, "Rise up now, take up your bed and walk." In essence, what Jesus was saying was that what has kept you on that bed was a sin that you have not yet been forgiven of. Number two, if you want to enjoy healing, number two, healing comes through faith in the word of God. Healing comes through faith in the word of God. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20, 21 to 22. It said, "My son, give attention to my words. Give attention to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. Do not let them depart from before your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh." Is that okay, sir? Health. The word health to all their flesh there is the word medicine. In essence, if you give yourself to the study of God's word on a daily basis, God's word can become medicine to your flesh. That's why some people have never had the reason to go to hospital for unnecessary treatments and all of that. Because when you stay in the word and you give at, don't just read the Bible. It said, "My son," listen to this, because somebody said, "But Pastor, I've been reading the word. How comes I'm still sick?" It said, "My son, give attention, number one, to my words. Number two, incline your ears to my saying. Number three, don't let them depart from thine sight. Number four, keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them, and they are health to all their flesh." So you can see there that it's not just enough to open the Bible and read. You have to keep the word. It is the word you keep that keeps you. Is that all right? Okay, I think I just got 2 minutes more and I'll be done. I can't read everything to you. So tomorrow I will rehearse that so that we can understand how the healing anointing come, and then we'll go into the practical session of it. Number three, through the fear of the Lord. Now, nobody has taught you about that, but I'm going to teach you that. Through the fear of the Lord, you can receive healing. Malachi chapter 4 verse 2, he said, but for you who fear that my name, the Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in what's up? His wings. And you will go forth and skip about like calves from the stall. Meaning that you've been kept down in the stall. He said, but you can skip out of the stall, or you can skip out of the stall when the Son of Righteousness arises upon you with what's up. But what will make him arise upon you? What will make him arise upon you with healing covering you? Sir, it's simple, sir. But for you that fear my name. And he goes on to prove that in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7 and verse 8. He said, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear Jehovah and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body. Eat. Fear the Lord. Turn away from evil. Eat. Just what you have done. Fearing the Lord and turning away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. So you want healing? Fear the Lord. And the proof that you fear God is that you do what, sir? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? And to fear God means to do what, sir? To turn away from evil. You can't continue in evil and say you fear God. And he said, eat. The fear of God will bring healing to you. It's not bring. It is healing. Praise God. Number four, true blessed materials. Number five, true blessed material. We're talking about anointing oil. We're talking about handkerchiefs. So tomorrow, if you want us to bless your handkerchief, you can bring them at the 12 o'clock healing service. True faith in the spoken word. Amen. Proverbs chapter 107 verse 20. He sent forth his word and his word heals them. If you remember in Matthew chapter 8 verse 5 to 8, the Bible says when he entered into Capernaum, a centurion beseeched him. And when he was to come to the house of the centurion said, I'm not worthy that thou should come under my roof. He says, speak the word only. Speak the word only. Speak the word only. Is that okay, sir? So healing comes through speaking the word only. Is that all right, everybody in the house of God? So I can speak the word. If you can believe what I say, if I say you are healed, yeah, and you can believe that, that's not. He said, no, don't bother coming to under my roof. Don't even enter my house. Speak the word only, and I believe that will be done. The man decided it was going to be done. True laying on of hands. We're going to be doing that tomorrow. True faith in the men of God. Acts of the Apostles chapter 3 verse 1. They said, look upon us. Look on us. And the Bible said, when the man looked on them expecting to receive something, indeed he received something. True faith in the men of God. Now listen, if you can learn to have faith in the men that God has brought your way, you can receive from them that which God wants you to receive. But you can never receive anything from an anointing you do not value. That's the truth. You can never receive anything. You can be around somebody that can turn your life around, but because you don't value the grace of God over the person's life, you never get anything from the person. Through the presence of the healing anointing, which we're going to be seeing tomorrow, our time is gone, and I must let you go. You want to lift your hands up? I want to pray for everybody under the sound of my voice tonight. As we come to the second weekend of this fasting and prayer, I want to pray for everyone. In fact, I decree from tonight that some of you will begin to experience your healing from this service. Thank you, Holy Spirit of God. I rebuke infirmities from your body. I rebuke diseases in the name of Jesus Christ. Whatever my Father has not planted in your body, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ, I curse it to its roots. I curse it to its roots. Somebody may have to come here and testify about your own healing tonight. That while the word was even going for, God had already done it in your body. In the name of Jesus Christ, I curse that infirmity in your body. I curse that infirmity in your body. In the name of Jesus Christ. I'm saying this because this year God is saying to me that my children will not waste money on health issues. Did you hear that? My children will not waste money on health issues in 2014. You better receive that seriously. And if you think you are healthy right now, you better say big amen so that you can remain healthy for the rest of this year. Number two, not only will my children not spend money on health issues this year, health issues will not stop my children from carrying out the assignments. If there be any infirmity in your body here that is trying to mess up your finances, drain your finances, that is trying to affect your productivity in any way, we curse it in the name of Jesus Christ. We curse it in the name of Jesus. Lift your hands and give him some praise in the house of the Lord. Give him some praise. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Stretch your hands in this direction, Father. We pray for every request here. We ask that you grant your children their expectations. If there be any sickness that is put before your altar, we ask that you curse your children to walk away without such infirmity. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, our God and our Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Can I have a big amen? If you've been blessed by tonight's meeting, can I have a good amen?